All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It is a very nice day, folks. It's cloudy, and it's just not raining in the city of Chicago. And I hope wherever you are in the world that you're enjoying nice weather, too. You know, I mean, it's still in the city of Chicago. It still doesn't actually feel like spring, but it doesn't exactly feel like winter either. So I guess we kind of win in that way. Okay. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is author Rosemary Knight. All righty, Knight with a K. All righty, Sean Spicer, the press secretary, is in hot water. He's saying Hitler did not gas those folks during the Holocaust. People are wanting his job. Taking his job. This guy should have never had the job, you ask me. You know, because most of these people that working for Donald Trump in the White House, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know anything about history. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just in the job because they've never had any affiliation with politics. And it shows. It is really telling with some of these folks. And in the White House in 2017 right now, and we are screwed with these people. I'm just sitting around, and a lot of us are wondering when the bombs are going to start falling on us. 347-857-1762. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it is a wonderful day, people. As I've just got through saying, Sean Spicer is in a lot of damn trouble. Nancy Pelosi is calling for Sean Spicer's ouster amid the Holocaust flap. These people really ought to, these people really ought to brush up on their history before they open their mouths. You know, obviously a lot of these folks did not or bypassed history classes in high school and grammar school and high school. And they don't know jack. I mean, you got people in the Trump administration looking like they're so knowledgeable, like they know everything. They know more than you do, you know. And then they get in front of the camera, in front of the microphones, and they say a lot of crap that isn't true, that's not true, that you stupid for believing it, and you stupid for believing in the truth, you know. And they get caught in their own web of mess. You know, and I think he should resign, but is he going to resign? I think Donald Trump is going to hold on to this fool because, you know, the people that Donald Trump hold on to in his administration are the people who are going to kiss his ass. That's it. I mean, if Sean Spicer is a good ass kisser for Trump, Trump is going to keep him, you know. But if Trump is finding a way to get rid of him because he wants to be independent, he wants to do what he wants to do, he wants to be his own man, Trump is going to fire him. Trump doesn't want anybody in his administration being their own person. He wants them all to be controlled, and majority of them are. Totally ass kissers, yes, men and women, you know. But Sean Spicer's in a lot of trouble. He made a Hitler comment. He said Hitler never gassed his own people. And there's so much evidence, resounding evidence, that Hitler actually did do that. Even more so than Assad, who allegedly gassed his own people a week ago in Syria. I mean, folks, the hate around the world, the killing, it just get worse, you know, minute by minute. And I'm all about making the world a better place. I'm wondering if I'm having any effect, or you're having any effect out there in making the world a better place. Are we all just going, are we all getting actually numb to this? Are we getting so numb to this that we're saying, well, somebody got killed, women, children, and old people were killed today. That's nothing. It happens all the time. Are we really getting like that, becoming numb to the murders and the killings and the genocide? And, you know, it seems like we are, you know, it seems like we are. But speaking for myself, I could never, ever, you know, get numb to the killings that go on in this city and around the world. I could never grow numb to that. Every time I hear about it, you know, but I can't stop what I'm doing. I can't stop being who I am because 100 people were gassed, including women and children. You can feel bad about it. You can say it's not right. You can say, hang the son of a bitch. But then you have to go on to your way of life, you know. And I'm pretty sure something has to be done with this guy, not just bombing his chemical factories, but something has to be done with the man himself. If this is true, that he actually gassed his own people in Syria, if this is true, he is a devil in disguise and he should be thrown out of power. Out of power. And Russia should be thrown out of power too if they are aiding and abetting this guy, if they're trying to defend what he did to his own people. And now you have Sean Spicer in the press room in Washington. Reporters are all over the place saying that even Hitler never gassed his own people. And now he's backtracking. He's apologized. But the damage is done. The damage is done. It just shows, like I've just got through saying, these people don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're just saying things to try to intimidate you, the public, the press, and hoping we buy that garbage that comes out of their mouths. And a lot of people are, a lot of people got jobs to do, so they're not going to say much. But those of us who can say what we want to say and how we want to say it, we say it. This guy, Sean Spicer, press secretary, is an idiot. He's a bonehead idiot. And there are a lot of people, including the Anne Frank Holocaust Center, calling for this guy to be fired. And rightly so, calling for him to be fired. And he should be. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on Instagram, Google. I'm all over the place. When you are a celebrity like myself, if you can call me a celebrity, George, you're not a celebrity. You are supposed to be where people can find you if they want to find you, you know, especially to listen to the radio show here and to maybe buy books and find out what the guests are saying once they come on to the show. My guest for yesterday did not show up. I think her name was Michelle, or was it Marilyn Shannon? And she never sent an email. So, you know, so that's so my thinking is that she blew the show off. So, well, you know, it happens. It happens. All right. Listen, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I believe it's around 35 degrees in the city of Chicago. That's pretty cool. But in weather terms, it's better than winter weather and a lot of snow. All righty. My guest today is Rosemary Knight, if that's possible. All right, I'm looking at Huffington Post, and it is, okay, the method to madness. Everybody's probably heard about this United Flap. Three airport security guards or security officers drug this man out of his seat, Asian guy, drug him out of his seat and off the plane. I don't understand that. The guy paid for his ticket. He paid to get on the train, on the plane. And now their airline said, hey, wow, you got to give up your seat. You got to give up your seat, even though you've paid. And you've got to be at a certain place at a certain time. And all of a sudden, the airline picks you out of a lot of people and said, hey, wow, give up your seat. We'll pay you to give up your seat. No, I don't want to give up my seat. I have to get here. I have to get do my job. Then all of a sudden, three security guards come dragging this man down the aisle on the plane, and people are saying, "What the hell is going on?" I think he should sue the plane. I think he should sue the airlines. I actually do. I mean, that was just wrong. Okay, they're apologizing now, but that was just wrong, and they're claiming that there's going to be some investigations into this. That pisses me off. Investigations, you see what's going on. You see it is right there. What do you got to investigate? Fire them assholes who tried to rip this guy from his seat and drug him down the aisle of the airplane. Excuse me. Upset right there, okay? All right, we will be right back if we can do, let's see, break. All right, we got it? Okay. Be right back, folks. Thanks for listening. Yeah, folks, I want to say earlier today, I went to the doctor, yeah, and I had a sort of a miniature checkup. You know, like when you have not gone to the doctor in a while, and once you weren't seeing a doctor, I mean, you get on your case for not coming in to get a checkup. They, you know, so I went in and they checked me out. I wasn't planning on staying, but, you know, they kind of corralled me on into the medical room, if I can call it a medical room, or the, you know, of the clinic. And they took my blood pressure, laid me down on the bed there, and touched me down at my midsection, my stomach. Check my ears, check my mouth, and gave me an appointment for at a later date. A lot of us, we started bringing that up, actually, is a lot of us don't go to the doctor like we should. We don't. We should go to the doctor. I mean, a lot of us are afraid of going to the doctor because they might find something, you know. And obviously, if you haven't gone to the doctor in a long time and you're having pain here, pain there, and this is wrong and that is wrong, then, you know, I mean, you should go. Just because you're having pain doesn't make it serious pain. But if you let it prolong, it will become serious. Anytime you have pain, something is wrong. But it doesn't mean you have cancer or your diabetes, or maybe it's just arthritis. You know, but any kind of disease you have, it doesn't matter if it's diabetes, heart disease, if you don't get it checked out, it's going to get worse. And whatever. I mean, even if there's nothing wrong, just go to the doctor anyway. If you don't feel anything, just go to the doctor. Get it checked out. You want to have a long life. You got to think of your family. Yeah, kids, wife. You want to be around for them. Am I correct? So, you know, and they need you. They depend on you. They don't want you dying. They want you to go and get yourself checked out so you can be there for them. And if you love them, you will do that. So I went and got a semi-checkout. So I have to do a full one, a complete one in the near future, which I'm going to go. You know, but I was like you guys. I mean, I didn't like going to the doctor. I hated it because I knew if I go to the doctor, he's going to tell me I got something, you know. So, but going to the doctor is not for the doctor to diagnose you with something. Going to the doctor is to keep you healthy, to keep you from getting diabetes, getting heart disease, preventing cancer. And if you have those things already, then you know that you've got to keep them in check by taking your medication and going to the doctor. We're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. So nobody's going to live forever. But we can live as long as we can or want to. We can live a long life, a good life, a healthy life, if we just take care of ourselves. Oh, look who's talking. If we just take care of ourselves by, you know, annually going to see the doctor annually or every 6 months or whenever you feel that you, if you think there's something wrong, go see your doctor. Check him out, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. It's 6:18 straight up Chicago time. We are looking at Huffington Post. Trump is on track to outspend Obama in Obama's entire travel tab. Trump is always out to do everything he can to make Obama look bad. We know that. He's trying to undo Obama's legacy. And in some instances, he has. He has. Obamacare has become Trump care. You know, but I'm hearing that Trump don't want it called Trump care, because when it messes up, and it will screw up, he doesn't want to be blamed for it. So he don't want his name nowhere on healthcare reform, and they say they're going to continue to try and change it. Repealing Obamacare will be on the front burner, you know, all the way during Donald Trump's term. I mean, that is one of their signature, that would be one of their signature accomplishments if they can accomplish it, because the last time they didn't. And the reason why they did not accomplish repealing Obamacare 3 or 4 weeks ago is because the people spoke up. The people did not want it. The people felt it was just horrible to throw 24 million people out of healthcare. It is appalling. It's unthinkable, you know. So the Trump administration, we're gonna come up with many, many surprises. And as for this Russian investigation, you know what I think? I don't think nothing's gonna come of it. They're gonna find what they're gonna find, and they're gonna throw what they find or what they want out to us, the public, you know, and we're gonna eat it up. Now, I don't think there's not going to be much. It's going to be a lot there, but I don't think the culprits are going to go to jail, resign, or be impeached. In other words, I don't think nothing's going to come of it. That's just me. And if it does, I'd be totally, totally surprised, because you got Donald Trump, who is still making policy, who is still getting legislation, defeated a very right wing to the right judge to the Supreme Court, which in turn will change it forever, you know. So 5-4 Republican win on everything, I mean every goddamn thing, you know. So the liberals, the progressives will constantly be losing under this Supreme Court, you know, unless one or two of the Supreme Court judges decide to vote with the Democrats. And that's totally, totally unlikely in this era, in this time. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr.'s show. Our society seems more and more to devaluate older people. Excuse me. And that's true. That is very true. Let me take a break right here because something is in my throat.
At first, you both seem pretty cordial to each other.
Yep.
Fast forward a few weeks, he's calling you the head clown.
Yes.
You're chanting dump Trump at rallies. Clearly, you're not working together anymore. So what do you mean by dump Trump?
Well, we have to stop him when, look, here's what I believe. You should always be guided by your values. That's my internal gyroscope. The higher up you go in politics and in anything else in life, mm-hmm. the more fierce the winds blow. So if you have your own beliefs, your own values, and stick with them, you'll stay on course. Uh-huh. So when Trump calling me names doesn't affect me, Trump trying to flatter me, which he did, doesn't affect me. If he sticks with the right values, I won't oppose things just because the name Trump is on it. Mm-hmm. But when he's against our values and American values, I'll fight him tooth and nail. And that's my guide, not what Trump says or doesn't say.
Right. Right. Senator, let's get to this other personality issue with him, because Senator Al Franken last week said, and I quote him, a few Republican senators think President Trump may have mental health issues. Now, I hate to brag, but I said that months ago. And I got a lot of flack from Bill O'Reilly saying I was being disrespectful, but now everybody's wondering about it. Do you share his concerns?
Let me put it like this. When you talk to Republicans quietly, you know, in the cloakroom, in the gym, they are having real problems with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, very few, John McCain to his credit, mm-hmm. but very few have had the courage to oppose him, even though they know he's doing a lot of things that are against what America is all about.
What are they afraid of?
Well, they're party loyalists. He's given them a Supreme Court nominee that they want. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is he keeps up on this path, which is likely. I don't think he'll change. Mm-hmm. Within 3-4 months, you're going to see a whole lot of Republicans breaking with him.
I hope so.
And that's the salvage of America.
I hope so.
That is the hope of America.
This, Chuck, this, I think very few people would do any more than kvetch at him if he were to do it the right way. Right. Do you know what I mean? If you do things the right way, then we can have a dialogue and disagree as we do. But the minute you veer off into some insane place, when you put people in charge who truly don't know what they're doing, I have questions to the Republicans. Why would you allow all of this? So is the Republican happier because he's got a Supreme Court nominee? Is that more important than what the Constitution stands for?
You're right, Whoopi. I was so disappointed. So many of the cabinet was the worst cabinet I've ever seen in the history of America. First, Donald
Me too,
Trump,
man. I totally agree. Yes.
Donald Trump campaigned on cleaning up Wall Street and getting the special interests in swamp out of the cabinet.
Yeah.
We call his cabinet the swamp cabinet, billionaires and bankers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Totally against what he campaigned on. Some of these people, Donald Trump got up and said, I am not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Two of his top cabinet nominees have made their career of cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and one of them Social Security. So he's totally deviating from what he said. I told him this. I said, you know, you campaigned, and just what you said, Whoopi, in a different way, you campaigned as a populist against both the Democratic and Republican establishments. And if you continue to do that, you'll have some successes. Mm-hmm. But if you do what you've been doing, just move to the hard, hard right, mm-hmm. way beyond what
that's
most Republicans are for, mm-hmm. you're going
to
be a failure.
Yeah,
and that's what's going
to
happen.
But he's listening to Bannon. That's the problem.
I think that he thinks he did it his way and he won and he's not going to change very soon.
Right.
But I do think and hope and pray that a lot of the Republicans, they're mainstream people. I don't agree with them on the issues, but they're good people, mm-hmm. that they will feel they have no choice but to break with them.
I agree with you.
What John McCain said is so real.
Wow. Yeah,
that, you know, the press has always been a counter to people in power.
Yes.
What Donald Trump, none of us, every one of us gets criticized with the press, by the press. We don't like it, but it probably keeps us better.
Yes. Yes.
And when he totally just demeans them, and when he's wrong and then calls them fake news, that's trouble for the democracy.
Yes, Senator, there have been many people are concerned about recent allegations. Many people are concerned about these recent allegations that the White House potentially has ties to Russia. And there have been reports that there may have been communication between the Trump campaign and Russian officials all throughout the election.
Yes.
What is going to happen here? Can you reassure people? Will they get to the bottom line of this? And what do you expect? How's this going to play out?
Well, first, one thing we know for sure. Every intelligence agency who's looked at this, all the law enforcement, that Russia tried to influence the election. Mm-hmm. That alone is a terrible thing. We have not had that. In that Constitution,
mm-hmm.
they talk about something called the Emoluments Clause,
yeah,
which means a president should not get any benefit from a foreign country, because mm-hmm. they were worried about foreign countries having undue influence.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that means he should publish his tax returns. That means he should divest of all his holdings so he doesn't benefit.
Okay.
But
he's not going to do that.
So Russia tried to influence. Did Trump participate in that and help?
Yeah.
If he did, that's really serious. Right now, there's an investigation going on by the FBI. And what I have called for today, actually,
we're going to get back to that.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
I love that little laugh. I love that. I think that's great. And that's why we added it to the show. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. And I wanted to say something about gas prices. Gas prices are on the rise. So I think most people, most motorists, they're going to be dealing with that. I mean, they can deal with it. I mean, you know, for 3 or 4 years now, five, maybe 10 years. Not quite 10. But anyway, for the last few years, gas prices have been relatively low. But now they're starting to spike. Not really spike, but, you know, just kind of creep up. And I think most people can deal with it, you know, and, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. Yeah, gas prices are on their way up. I'm pretty sure they're going to cut down on driving, of course, you know, and a lot of people have cut down on driving for many, many reasons. But anyway, I just wanted to say that gas is on the way, on the rise. So if you can deal with it, if you can stomach it, if you can afford it, good for you. But if you can't, you're going to have to make some changes. And I always say, whenever something like that happens to me, you got people raising prices, cutting their budgets, then you look at yourself and you say, wow, I've got to start cutting my own budget. People are cutting their budgets. Let me cut my budget. Maybe I should end this magazine subscription here. You know, so you have to find ways where you can cut your budget, especially if you have children and you have a, you know, and you need to do things and buy things. You have to cut your own budgets, just like these corporations and businesses. They cut their budgets by laying off people, which is awful. And yesterday we talked about a lot of these big box stores going under because of more and more people are deciding to shop online. Folks, that is really happening. And it's sad to see some of these stores go, like Sears, JCPenney, Staples, Macy's, some of these iconic stores, you know, closing their doors. Some are saying that they really are not going to be closing. They're going to reshuffle. I'd rather for them to reshuffle than to close their doors. You know, because I was a shopper. I've shopped at Macy's. I've shopped at Target, Macy's, JCPenney. You know, I've been to all of these stores. Sears was one of my favorite. And it's just sad to see the stores because of online shopping. And I've said this before. It's easy business-wise to if you want to stay in business, do what Amazon is doing. Do what some of these bookstores are doing. Do what they're doing. Follow their model and do what they're doing. Sears is going to have to do a Macy's or do a Macy's, a JCPenney, and try to go after that online shopping market. But for myself, I'm going to tell you something, folks. A lot of people are shopping online. I, myself, personally, and some people in my family, we like to shop. We like to go out to the stores and shop, you know, so we can, before we buy, we can kind of touch it and feel it and make sure we're getting what we want. Because I've done a lot of shopping online. Believe me, we've done shopping online. And a lot of times, whenever that package arrives at my door, I'm thinking, wow, we got to send this back. I didn't know this was this. I didn't know it was so small. Wow, I didn't think it was this color. You know, and I mean, if you go out to the store and you physically are talking to a sales agent and you're physically touching the product that you're going to buy, I mean, you know what you're getting. You do. And I'm not bashing online shopping, because I am going to be doing it again, of course. But I'm just saying that sometimes when I'm doing online shopping, when that package arrives, it's either too small, too big, or because you don't really get the dimensions on certain things that you shop for. You know, for example, I purchased my son a Congo. a bongo drum, actually a bongo drum. I wanted to do it for his birthday. So I, a bongo drum, I bought it from Amazon. Okay. I mean, when I went to Amazon and I saw it and I discovered it and it looked so great. It was, I said, I got to get this for my son. I got to get this because I know he likes to play the drums. I know he likes to play the xylophones and he's in his school band and all that kind of thing. So I said, wow, let me get this bongo for him where he can just, you know, he played a guitar. I played the bongos. Okay. Whatever. I mean, I play the guitar and he plays the bongos because he likes percussion kinds of drums. So, you know, I said, I'm going to order this for him. It looks great. So I'm figuring he's going to be standing up beside me beating on his drum. Okay. So I ordered it. I put it in for Amazon. It took about, you know, I didn't get 2-day shipping or 3-day shipping. I just let, you know, did 7-day shipping. I mean, I wanted to save some money. All right. And, but the, when it got here, I was totally disappointed. When I finally received the package, I'm looking at it. Damn, this is small. Too damn small. I mean, my son is 5'7", 5'8". I mean, the bongo drums that came to our door, about 8 feet tall. I mean, not 8 feet, but 8 inches tall. It was small. 8 inches. And I'm looking at it. This is like for a newborn baby or something. You know, it was totally small. I didn't know it was that small. Only thing I knew that it was a bongo drum and it looks like it was big enough to for him to stand up and play it. But now to play this thing, you got to be laying down in the bed, if anything. But anyway, that's one of the things I wanted to say about shopping online. You have to, excuse me. Shopping online, you have to really, really pay attention to the dimensions of the product or item that you are about to order. Because I've heard the same thing from other people who order online that they didn't realize that the item that they were ordering was really, really small. Because when you see that particular item on Amazon or on some other purchasing website, they have it. I mean, the picture is that they have it, have the picture so engrossed, engaged, and out there. It looks like it's about 2 or 3 feet tall. But once you order that certain item, it's less than 12 inches. And you tell yourself, and immediately you want to return it to Amazon. But we decided to keep it because he may not be able to play it or want to play it, but we can keep it as a, you know, memento, something that, you know, is just a part of the living room or the house. It just sits there and just looks good. You know, it'll be a part of the furniture, a small part of the furniture. And it is playable. The thing is playable, but it's just embarrassingly too small for a 5'7" or 5'8" young man to be playing. So we'll try to do that again. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We will be right back.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Trump has promised a news conference Wednesday. I'll believe it when I see it. He has every reason to cancel it or simply ignore his promise. The trick worked with the news conference about his wife's reported immigration irregularities. The trick worked with the news conference he scheduled for December 15th to address his potential business conflicts of interest. The trick worked when he promised for last Tuesday or Wednesday revelations about Russia's hacking of the election. Of course, Trump has broken his promise. It's a Trump promise. But this news conference is designed as, and here is my favorite word again, chaff, to deflect from the now 4 confirmation hearings Trump and his Senate monkey Mitch McConnell have scheduled for the same day, including the confirmation of a nominee who had not yet been vetted by the ethics office, DeVos at Education, including the confirmation of the man who defines the corporate globalism Trump himself specifically denounced as recently as December 1st, Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson, who's actually a resident of the nation of Exxon. To deflect from these real problems, Tillerson is like the John Houseman and Ned Beatty characters from the movies Rollerball and Network. Trump has to say something outrageous, to start a new flimsy controversy at a news conference, to lie about somebody, to dig up a new scapegoat, to find a way to attack Hillary Clinton, or NBC, or me, or you. But Trump's handlers have a problem. His increasingly self-destructive statements about Russia and hacking and the Putin WikiLeaks scandal have suggested Trump is losing what little self-control he still has, and that there is every reason to suppose that instead of providing chaff to protect Tillerson and the rest of this gang of pirates he has nominated, he will instead reveal something impeachable about himself. Again. Like he did at his last news conference, if only the country had fully understood it at the time. There is a specific reason Trump has not held a news conference since the 27th of July last year. It is because on that day he inadvertently eliminated the need to prove that his campaign knew in advance that Russia was hacking American computers for the specific purpose of putting him in as its puppet in the White House. After that July 27th news conference, proof of that was no longer needed. We instead had solicitation of an identical crime. That was the day he asked Russia to hack American computers for him personally. He was asked about Russia and the hacking that had already been done, and instead he answered about Russia and the hacking he would like to see.
And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens.
And in the same news conference, a follow-up question from my pal Katie Turr, no less.
That's up to the president. Let the president talk to him. Look, here's the problem. Here's the problem, Katie. Here's the problem. Very simple. He has no respect.
She then references his call to have them release 30,000 Hillary Clinton emails. He resumes, quote, well, they probably have them. I'd like to have them released. She is incredulous. Does that not give you pause? He resumes because even then he could not leave it alone.
No, gives me no pause. If they have them, they have them. We might as well find. Hey, you know what gives me more pause? That a person in our government, crooked Hillary Clinton, here's what gives me more. Be quiet. I know you want to, you know, save her. That a person in our government, Katie, would delete or get rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a big problem. After she gets a subpoena, she gets subpoenaed, and she gets rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a problem. Now, if Russia or China or any other country has those emails, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd love to see them.
This, in retrospect, was an inducement to a foreign power to enact espionage against citizens of the United States of America. They have not let him hold a news conference since. If Trump really shows up and he is asked anything about anything except Russia, except what he said about Russia, if the thing is wasted by question after question about Meryl Streep, then every reporter who speaks at this news conference should leave the profession, if journalism still exists under Trump. Because not only is the subject of Trump's disloyalty to this country essential to our continued existence as a nation, but there's no work involved either. The damned questions are just lying there in the quotes from the last news conference. Resist. Peace.
All right. Excuse me. That's my buddy, Keith Olbermann. He always gets to the point, and I try to have his resistant comments on the show because they're so insightful and so not I think educational. Okay, he's a great guy. He was once a commentator for MSNBC. They fired him because he was too dead to the point. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Oh man, it is a great evening in the city of Chicago, and I hope you're having fun wherever you are. And we're going to do this. Another Keith Olbermann.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. He said, quote, "You'll find out on Tuesday or Wednesday." He said he knows a lot about hacking. He said he knows about the hacking of the Democratic National Committee and other computer systems, quote, "things that other people don't know." What do you know, he was asked Saturday night, that other people don't know? You'll find...
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard. Fighting non-violently. And another way to fight, folks, you fight with your vote. You fight at the ballot box. You fight at the ballot box. Vote. We've got all kind of elections coming up, and some are being held right now. You have to get out there and vote. You want to change your country. You want to change a lot of this stuff that's going on in the country. This idiocy. You have to vote, and you can only fight with your vote. Throw these people out of office. Kick them to the curb, because that's what they've done to you and me, kicked us to the curb. But we can now kick them to the curb. Throw them out. If you regret your vote for Donald Trump, if you regret your vote for any of those Republicans, senators, representatives in Congress, throw their asses out come 2018, November 2018. Of course, a lot of you voted in the 2016 presidential election for Hillary Clinton. Do the same thing in 2018 for your representative and your senator. We have to change Congress. Donald Trump isn't up for a re-election until 2021. I could barely say that. But anyway, but there is time to vote for your governor. We just had a governor resign because of infidelity, embarrassing infidelity leaks coming out. A Republican governor. Replace this slob with a Democrat or an independent. Republican governors are wreaking havoc on our cities and states around the country. Sam Brownback, for example, in Kansas. This guy is pathetic. You have to vote, people. Not only for your senator, your representative coming in the next few years, next couple of years, actually, but you got to do it for your governors, too. And a lot of these governors, Republican governors, were elected to office because you didn't vote. They use your non-vote to get in to office, to wreck their cities and to wreck their states. So it's very, very important that you vote a straight Democratic ticket, not just for Hillary Clinton, but for your senator and your representative. A lot of people didn't do that in 2016. That's why we have a Republican Congress. And they are aiding and abetting this criminal, Donald Trump. They're, in my estimation, I think they're using Trump, you know, to get what they want, and then they're going to impeach him. Well, then again, I could be wrong. But the most important thing we can do now, so you didn't vote in the 2016 election for your senator and representative, but now you see how important it is. We see what the Republicans are like. Maybe it's a good thing that they control everything, because now the people see that they are not the ones to be in charge of anything. Look at Donald Trump's cabinet. Millionaires and billionaires in his cabinet that he chose for these sensitive agencies, to be in charge of these sensitive agencies around the country. And the majority of these people, if not all of them, do not have any experience in what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Donald Trump doesn't know what he's doing. He's learning. He's learning as he goes. They're telling him things. They're whispering things in his ear. They're letting him know. Donald Trump doesn't know anything. Donald Trump doesn't even have a college degree. He doesn't have a law degree. He doesn't know anything about anything. But he has a lot of mouth. He's a blowhard. He's a bully. That's how he gets his way. That's how he gets things done within a business setting. But running the United States, being president of the United States, this is not a business. And if it was a business ran by Donald Trump, we would be bankrupt already. And Donald Trump, I keep hearing all these, Donald Trump has had a zillion lawsuits, but none of this stuff has ever came to court. Yeah, he finds a way to pay these things off before, because he doesn't have time to be going to court. He's president of the United States. Of course, he thinks he's so privileged. But one of the things I hate about Donald Trump is that he's wasting taxpayer money. Excuse me. I have a hell of a cough. He's wasting taxpayer money on this Mar-a-Lago trip that he spends. I'm hearing he spends 3 days a week on the taxpayer dime. That pisses me off. If you want to go play golf, Donald Trump, do it on your own dime. Don't do it on us. You know, but it's happening. I mean, he's got Secret Service all around him and his family, taxpayer dime. You know, I think that's, I don't think that's fair, but, you know, I can do just like everybody else, is doing, is complain about it, you know. But then again, I have my vote. I have my vote. Usually I vote the right way. I vote the right way, but a lot of people do not vote the right way. They vote against their interests. They vote against the good people and put the bad people in. And that's awful. That is awful. So, you know, I'm going to be talking about this every day that I'm on the show, about getting out the vote for 2018. And I did the same thing in 2016 for the presidential vote. I mean, I was on the air, out in the communities, you know, and all this kind of stuff, giving out literature and talking on the radio and trying to get people to vote. People did vote. They did, but they just did not vote a straight ticket. They did not vote their congressman. They did not vote for their senator. This is why we have a Republican-controlled Congress that is aiding and abetting Donald Trump, that is trying to ignore the investigations into his administration. They let's say if this was a Democrat with all the baggage of Donald Trump, the Republicans would have impeached him or her by now. A Democratic president would have never gotten this far under Republican control in Congress. The mere fact that this is a Republican president and is Donald Trump, they're letting this guy get away with everything. And a lot of these Republicans, Republican senators and representatives, they're not listening to a damn thing that their constituency, their voters, the people who put them in office, are saying. They are voting against what their constituencies want them to do. These Republicans in Congress, some of them act as if Donald Trump is their, you know, boss. He's the boss. No, Donald Trump is not your boss. Donald Trump didn't vote for you. Donald Trump will get you out of that office. Because, you know, this is wrong. I mean, you have to follow what the people who gave you your job, they're your bosses. We are their bosses. Yeah, but they don't listen to us. They don't give a damn what we're saying. You know, it's Donald Trump. They want Donald Trump. I mean, they're doing what Donald Trump wants them to do. And Donald Trump has threatened them. If you don't repeal health care, I'm going to make sure you lose in 2018. Donald Trump can't do that. By saying that, they are really going to lose. Because Donald Trump approval rating is in the 30%. Now, why would you want to be labeled with a guy like that? How would you want to be compared to a guy like that? That's a surefire loser. But anyway, people did not vote in the 2016 election. They voted for Hillary. That's proven in the popular vote. But they did not vote for your senator and your representative. All of that's important. All of that's important because a Democratic Congress can stop Trump in his tracks. A Republican Congress is going to enable everything he says and does, even if it's all wrong for America. You don't want a racist or a con man or thugs in the White House, as it seems we have now, and in these important cabinet posts around the country. It's awful. It's awful. So, folks, you have to vote. I mean, in the city of Chicago, in the state of Illinois, we got Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner, Republican, and this guy has been horrible, totally, totally horrible. And all he's doing is blaming other lawmakers. Yeah, they can take some blame, but the brunt of the blame goes on this Republican governor, where he's trying to shy away and con people into thinking that none of this is his fault. We haven't had a budget for 3 years, but that's not his fault. That's the fault of the people who won't give him what he wants. And he's running for re-election. Vote his ass to the curb. We haven't had a budget in the state of Illinois, and I've been talking about this for maybe 2.5 years that I've been on the show, that I've been here, maybe three, about how we have not, Illinois has no budget, no budget. And a lot of people are saying maybe that's the reason to why there's so much shootings and murders in the city, because we have no budget for crime prevention. You know, there is a possibility. But this man doesn't give a damn. He'll come up with all kind of spin, all kind of lies, smiling through his lying teeth. I don't care what Bruce Rauner does for the state of Illinois, if anything, as long as this state doesn't have a budget, he's not doing anything. As long as this state does not have a budget, he's not doing anything.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross.
Enough to land.
Enough to last
till the end of time.
What the world
needs now, the sweet love.
The only thing that there's just too little love.
What the world.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right.
Dr. Umar Johnson.
Peace
My
and
brother.
Love.
Peace.
Peace and love, family.
Bro?
All is well. Glad
Good
to be back.
Now let's get right to it, man. In
yes,
light
sir.
Of everything that's going on, what are the solutions? We've discussed the problem so much. What are the solutions?
All right. Before I state the solution, I would have to challenge you on that, because although we talk about the problems a lot of people don't understand how the problem operates.
Gotcha.
Let me give you an example. Take miseducation.
Okay.
People know the children aren't learning. They know black boys are not graduating. They know special ed is an issue. They know ADHD is a problem. But they don't know how this operates.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand how the child goes from the classroom into the special education system.
Okay.
So they have to be taught how it operates. You follow? So we understand that police genocide is a problem in the black community. We understand that structural inequality, disproportionality, i.e. racism, is a problem. But do we understand how racism operates? So I think that once you understand how the problem operates and manifests itself, you're now in a position to solve it. Mm. Someone comes to me for therapy. Before I do any therapy, what I do, a clinical history. Mm. Is there depression in your family? Have you been depressed before? Have you ever contemplated suicide? So I have to understand your background and how you've been living your life in order to solve your current everyday problems. So now, coming to the present, what we're seeing going on around the country. Let's be honest. Africans were brought to America to serve. To serve. We're no longer necessary for the American economic order to operate. They don't need us to function. That explains the purging. That explains the ethnic cleansing.
Even with all these Negroes making money?
Well, remember now, when you look at the black folks who are rich, they are a small percentage of the general body politic of the community. You understand? 85% of black folks are struggling. Half of our children grow up in poverty. Most of our single-parent black mothers are poor, even with a burgeoning rate of black women earning their college degrees. Mm. So simply put, black America is suffering despite the television projection of success. Yes, we are more educated than ever before. We have the bachelor's, we have the master's, we have the doctorates. But that education has not taken place alongside an increase in wealth acquisition. We're smarter, but we still don't own anything.
Mm. Well, we know we're poor. We know some of us are not well educated. We know some of us have a lot of problems due to where we're growing up in our environment.
Yes.
But besides all of that,
mm-hmm.
we got a bigger problem with racism. The way that other people look at us.
I agree.
You know what I mean? But I'm not saying it's right, but the way we look at ourselves is bad too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because if I'm walking down the street and I see some brothers with some hoods on, it makes me think twice.
Right.
So if it makes me think twice, I know it's going to make somebody else think twice, but it doesn't give us the right to put a.
But that's based off your experiences, though.
But
it's also based off conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
The conditioning is critical. Media is critical,
right,
to the social agenda of any country. You understand? You take Adolf Hitler. Before he did what he did in Germany, he conducted a media campaign that sought to destroy the image of a European Jew in the German mind before the physical Holocaust began. Mm-hmm. Same thing in America. Before you begin taking the black life, you must kill the image of the black life. Mm-hmm. So when you look at gangster rap, which plays a hand in it,
mm-hmm.
okay, when you look at the way in which we're portrayed in movies, mm-hmm. when you look at the way in which we're portrayed on radio, popular media, magazines, it is in a very negative way, as if to say these people, the world would be better off without these people.
That's why they leave people criminal records when
exactly,
they kill them.
Exactly. In other words, it's not so bad that he died because he went to jail anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kill the image before you kill the person. Why? Because people will take up for people who are unjustly treated. But if you can convince the world that we would be better off without these people by killing their image, then when the physical carnage begins, no one will care.
How do we change that, though? How do we change the way that America looks at African Americans? And how do we change the fact that these racist individuals, racist police officers, stop pulling out the guns? See, I think it's you have to penalize them.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, it's kind of like a kid. You know, your kid does something bad, and you say, okay, it's okay. He's going to continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bust his ass, next time he's thinking about doing it, he's going to be like, well, you know what? My pops is going to bust my ass. I feel like the police officers that kill African Americans, just kill people in general, they don't get penalized for it.
I agree with it. You're absolutely correct. For example, behavioral psychology, two basic laws is what? All behavior is a function
mm-hmm.
of the context in which it takes place. The American racial hierarchy, it's a function of the context. And then it's a function of the consequences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, behavior never stands still. Whether it's you, whether it's a child, whether it's the country, whether it's the police. Behavior is always getting worse,
right,
or it's always getting better. So when Zimmerman wasn't punished for Trayvon,
right,
that automatically created a context
absolutely
for it to happen again.
Right.
Do you understand? Walter Scott, Tamir Rice, mm-hmm. it creates a context.
Michael
so the
Ryan.
Next police officer says, well, wait a minute. I can be a little bit more trigger happy because the last five black men and women, Sandra Bland, who were murdered by police were not held accountable. So when you do nothing about misbehavior,
mm-hmm.
then you're actually supporting its repeating
now,
itself.
Now, what do protests do? Because people protest and they say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love the unity, and I love the unity of African-American people. I wish we could be more unified when it's not just a brother dying. But I feel like sometimes the protest, what is it getting accomplished?
Okay.
You know? And the reason I ask that is because, you know, you protest, you shut down a highway, there's an ambulance that's trying to get somebody to a hospital, that person dies in an ambulance. You know, mm-hmm. I'm stuck in traffic. I can't pick up my kid at 5 p.m. So what is the protest actually doing? Is it going to make the cop look at us any better? Like, what can we do besides, I think, the protest? I don't know if the protest really worked.
Right. Well, first of all, we got to keep in mind that the black person is normally dead before the ambulance shows up to get them in the first place.
True.
So let's be clear on that. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Envy. Protest is the first stage of any political economic struggle.
Right.
Protest is your marketing program to let the world know what I stand for, what's happening to mm-hmm. me, and what I want. Protest allows you to control the public narrative about your struggle. Mm-hmm. Without the protest, the world doesn't know why you're doing what you're doing.
That's
so
true.
Protest is important because it is your way to put out your message.
Gotcha.
So you can't do nothing without it. The problem with black people is there's nothing after the protest.
Right.
Do you understand? The protest becomes the goal instead of the means to the end.
That's what I keep asking. What is the solution? What's the next action? Like we saw.
Well, let me tell you what has to happen now.
Okay.
Because now we're in a state of crisis for black America.
Okay.
Three things black America has failed to do, which is going to keep this carnage machine in place, this police genocide. Number one, we have failed to publicly criticize and hold accountable the executive branch of the United States government, i.e. President Barack Obama. Despite all the killings, despite all the murders, despite an unemployment rate and a dropout rate that is greater under a black president than it was under the two previous Republican presidents, black people have remained silent. Mm. Obama has ignored black folk. In fact, we are the only so-called minority population in the country for which he has done nothing nor has spoken significantly for our issues. Compare us to LGBT. They got three laws under Obama. Three. That is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. How many laws did black people get under Obama to protect us from police genocide or even to improve the schools or to reduce incarceration?
Wow.
Zero. Okay, they got a Supreme Court justice. Latinos got a Supreme Court justice. LGBT got a Supreme Court justice. President Obama had the opportunity to appoint the first African-American female Supreme Court justice, and he chose not to act. It's not all his fault, though. We have created a context where the president can ignore black people and get away with it because we told the entire world when he was elected that all he had to do was just be black and we were fine. Remember?
Yeah, we didn't.
He doesn't have to do anything but be black. That is the worst thing you can say as a marginalized, oppressed group in such a racist country as this, as to tell the world that the president, the executive branch of the United States government, does not have to be accountable for you.
That's for any head of state, though. Any head of state,
yes,
we elect, we need to push.
I agree.
And make sure things happen.
But Obama is the first president out of 44, the first one from George Washington up, that has not have to deal with any sort of public criticism from black people.
Mm-hmm.
And if he leaves office without any, here's the problem. If we let Obama leave office without any condemnation from the black community, by virtue, you cannot hold Hillary or Trump accountable for what they do not do for black people, because you have now created a precedent where a president can come in for 8 years, ignore you, even with police genocide, and not receive any criticism.
Why do people make excuses? You know, and I was always mad. I was upset about this because I felt like he was our president, you know, and I felt like when certain things happen, I felt like he should be on the front lines because he's dealt and seen, and I'm sure he's been pulled over before. I'm sure he's been racially profiled before. So it kind of bothers me when I see a lot of these individuals get shot and killed, and you don't really hear much from them.
Exactly.
Even to the thing with, you know, when he flew back to go to the funerals and speak to the officers in Dallas, I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also thought, well, what about Baton
Rouge? Exactly.
What about Minnesota?
Exactly.
What about Ferguson?
He's not going to do that because President Obama understands something that most blacks in America do not understand. The first business of America is racism. Let's be clear about something. Most white people in America, okay, are also suffering economically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm white in a country based on white privilege, what is my claim to fame if I don't have a decent education, don't have a good job? For many white people in this country, their only claim to fame is the fact that I can say I exercise privilege vis-a-vis black people. Obama understands that. So America is held together by the fact that the poor white man understands that he still exercises a privilege that the rich black man does not.
And that's what Donald Trump is reminding them. Donald Trump is reminding all
the
white
people. Oh, Donald
Trump
changed the game. And let me tell you why. The United States power structure underestimated the impact of an unapologetically honest fool over the American electorate. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. In other words, Trump is saying to white folks what white folks feel.
Poor white folks, too.
Yes, poor white folks. So you got a rich, wealthy white man appealing to poor white folks. You've never had that. But it's working because he is unapologetic. He's ignorant. He's a fool. But he's honest. Mm-hmm. And white folk can respect and identify with a white male who's willing to be honest. In other words, Donald Trump intentionally made sure he was the polar opposite of Barack Obama. Look at Obama. You ask Obama a question, you don't get an answer. You never get a straight answer from Obama. It's always what we got to see. Let's see what the Americans think. Now, go back to George Bush. George Bush told you what he felt. He was another idiot, but he was honest. Mm-hmm. Trump is honest. The reason white folks are not rallying behind Hillary the way that the power structure wants them to is because Hillary is the same old thing. She's Clinton all over again. She's Obama all over again.
Correct.
She's a Bilderberg.
Talking
She's politically
points.
Correct.
Yeah.
Her whole message is scripted. Trump's is not. So the issue now is how do we engineer an election where Hillary wins? Because right now, Trump is carrying the momentum. See, remember now, people don't choose the president anyway. Mm-hmm. But you want the people to choose the person you wanted. So the illusion of democracy continues to prevail. America is not a democracy. America is a republic. That's why when people pledge the flag, and I hope there's no black boys pledging the flag, but when people pledge the flag, they pledge the flag to the republic. The word democracy is not in the pledge. The word democracy is not in the preamble. The word democracy is not in the Constitution. The word democracy is not in any of the 50 state constitutions. So why is America called a democracy when it's really a republic? Because it is the illusion of inclusion, the belief that the people actually control its leaders when it does not.
So with that said, right, for as much as we know that America has a history of racism, institutionalized racism, systemic racism, why did Barack Obama become president? Why did
Barack,
they allow Barack
excellent
to become
question.
President?
Okay, every president that is elected is given a domestic mandate and an international mandate. There's something they need you to do domestically. There's something they need you to do internationally. Mm-hmm. But President Obama, his international mandate was to reopen Africa's resources to Western exploitation.
Right.
George Bush destroyed the economic conversation between America and Africa. And as you know, Africa is the richest continent on the face of the earth. No country can survive without it. If you have a cell phone, laptop, television, a car, airplane, it requires a substance, a material called coltan. The Congo is the number one producer of coltan on the globe. No Congo, no cell phones. So America needs Africa. Bush destroyed the relationship, though, with the African Union. With Obama's father being Kenyan and his mother being white, you understand? Mm-hmm. He was the perfect person to put in the White House to reopen up that relationship with Africa, which he has done, okay? And through AFRICOM, which is African Command, President Obama has successfully recolonized Africa in the name of Western financial interest at a rate we haven't seen since Africa was under colonialism. So he succeeded internationally. Mm-hmm. That was the international mandate. Get the money back from Africa, the gold, the diamonds, the oil, the coltan, get it back. He got it.
Some people would say that Barack didn't.
What's the domestic mandate?
The domestic mandate. Mm-hmm. The reason President Obama was made president domestically is to brainwash and manipulate black America long enough so the American power structure could take every civil right that our ancestors fought for and give it to every other minority group. So by the time Obama leaves office, all of our rights will be have taken from the other minority groups, and we will be back in the 1960s Jim Crow style.
So how does that work? Because I keep looking at the Constitution like, did they remix it for black people?
It doesn't apply to you anyway. Yeah. Remember now, when the fourth, remember, 1865, you get the 13th Amendment. You're free, okay? 1867, you get the 14th Amendment. Equal protection under the law. But the 1866. But the 14th Amendment isn't ratified till 1868. Mm. You know why? Because you need two-thirds of the states to ratify an amendment. They said, we're not giving black folks equal protection under the law. So what were you between 65, emancipation, and 68, ratification of the 14th Amendment? You were simply a resident, not a citizen. Black people in America today are still residents, not citizens. And we confuse the words liberty with freedom. Liberty and freedom are not the same. White people have freedom. Black people have liberty. Freedom is the ability to make decisions without external control. Liberty is the ability to make decisions because an external control gave you the privilege. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. One of them, you got people doing what they want to do. The other, you can do what you want to do within these constraints because we still own you. That's exactly why Abraham Lincoln emancipated the slaves. Emancipation simply means to let go from bondage. It also means a transference of ownership.
All right, that was great. Thank you very much. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hope you enjoyed that. I retitled this show to say something important. It's online shopping versus in-store shopping. That should be a great, great topic to talk around the dinner table, you know what I'm saying? And that should be a great topic for that. I mean, because I've just got through saying some few things about it early on into the show, and I hope you guys podcast the show and listen to it. It might be interesting. It may not be interesting. But, hey, wow, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me all over the place. The show is just about over, folks. We got about 8 minutes left into the show. I've cleared my throat a little bit. Okay, so, but, you know, it's whatever it is whatever it is. It's, let me see. What does that say? It's, let me take a closer look. 52 degrees in the city of Chicago. 52. It feels like 32, actually, to me. Maybe that's because we're over near the lake, and it's always a little snafu-y near the lake. It's a little bit colder, a little cooler, whatever. But still in all, it's 52 degrees in the city of Chicago. We have 722 straight up. Chicago time, or is it 724? I'm gonna go with 7:24 p.m. because that's telling me how long I have left to do the show. But anyway, I want to go back and reiterate some of the things I've said, especially being specific on you guys getting out there to vote, because there's elections all over the place. If you're in Kansas, if you're in California, Seattle, New York, Texas, wherever you are, South Carolina, North Carolina, get out there and vote. And vote for your own interest. Vote for your interest. Vote for what you want. Put the people in there that's going to work for you, not work for themselves after getting your vote. Work for yourself. Put the people in there that's going to work for you, going to do what you tell them to do. You're the boss, not Donald Trump. I guess what I'm saying is we have to change the makeup of Congress, you know, so we can get some things done. Congress and Trump, they're doing a lot of things right now, but they're doing it to hurt America. They're doing things that are un-American. They're doing things to hurt you, me, elderly, the young, the disabled. They don't give a damn. They don't care, especially Trump. Trump just don't give a F-U-C-K. And that's the bottom line. He wants what he wants. He wants to win. Well, he won a few days ago because he got his Supreme Court nominee seated on the bench. So, you know, so the Supreme Court will be forever 5-4, five Republicans, four Democrats. It's going to be challenging for the Democrats or liberals, progressives, to get anything through the Supreme Court unless one of the, you know, Republicans flip. And that's always a possibility. That's how we get Obamacare. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, we are off the air, actually. And I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for podcasting. Thanks for all your everything you say about me and the show. That's in a positive way, that is, because a lot of people say, anyway, thanks anyway. I hope you join me tomorrow on the show. We're going to have a great guest. We're gonna be talking about a lot more things, so it happens, and I'm so used to being on the show now that I don't see myself without it. And I want to say thanks, everybody. Thank you for your for your ear. I mean, because when you're doing a radio show or a television show, you really have to bring your A game if you want to keep your viewers and your listeners and we try to do that. We want to keep our viewers and our listeners. So join me tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. As always, thank you.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. From the mighty and the mighty from the small.